marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtrooms, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. The king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he is coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, those who were crippled, broken, ruined, glad in garments white as snow. The king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, and the flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place, heaven's choir is now to sing amazing grace.
The king.
The king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. And
I've got to come back to the rest of that at the end of this message. I hope you can enjoy and wait on that, because that king is coming, friend. That king is coming, and I am leaving. How about you? Are you going with us? Are you going with us? Are you ready to go? What a day. What a day. What a broadcast. Listen, the grave danger, of missing the rapture, the grave danger of missing the rapture. If I could, you say, Brother Chambers, you scare me to death. If I could scare you, not to death, but to the altar. If I could scare you to get on fire for God, I would. I really would. I don't think that's possible. I think it's a matter that you have got to decide, am I going to be ready? Am I going to go with him? Do I want everything that God's got? Do I want to be part of that bride, that marvelous bride? at the time of the coming of the Lord. Oh, friend, forgive me for no coat. I burn up in here with a coat on. And so I decided to be comfortable so that I could hopefully be a greater blessing to you. Now let's go to the book of Luke. The book of St. Luke. We could go to the book of Matthew 24, same thing. But people will argue against it in Matthew 24, for they say that belongs to Israel. Well, I don't believe it. I believe it belongs to everybody. But I'm going to go to Luke 21, because I want you to listen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words with an S shall not pass away. Now you talk about the coming of the Lord. This Bible is full of it. From the early days of the Old Testament church, right down to now, the Bible is full of the promise that Jesus is coming. It was first the Messiah was coming. Now it's Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. And it says very clearly, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed. Now you got to hear me. And take heed. Sounds like grave danger, don't it? And take heed. It is a grave danger about missing that rapture. I remember when a preacher across town here in Charlotte actually said that if a person who'd ever been saved was in the bed with a harlot having fornication, that saved person would still go in the rapture, because at one time they were saved and there's no way to have ever been saved and miss the rapture. Now, that man, I don't guess he'd ever been born again himself. Because if he'd ever been born again and fell in love with the Bible, he would certainly know better than such a foul doctrine as that. I mean, it's really horrible. Take heed to yourselves. The Bible said that Jesus said, notice now, the Bible said that Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day shall come upon you unawares. Now, if that day can come upon you unawares, my dear friend, if Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest you be overcharged with surfeiting, loving the world, loving the things of the world, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life. The cares of this life will eat you up. The cares of this life will consume you. I need a bigger car. I need a bigger house. I need a bigger salary. I need this. I need this. I need this. What you really need is to be ready to go, because the going is soon. I'm telling you, the going is soon. That trumpet's gonna toot, and I'm gonna scoot. And I hope you do the same. That trumpet's going to toot, and I'm going to scoot. When that trumpet sounds, we better be ready to go. Now listen, he says, lest that day should come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the earth. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy. Oh, Brother Chambers, it's not by works. Well, I know you're saved by grace. There's no other way to be saved but grace. But once you're saved, faith without works is dead, being alone. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said that by the Holy Ghost. And you better believe it, friend, because it's going to be required of you whether you believe it or not. And that's absolutely dependable. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy. Worthy. What do you got to do to be worthy? Have on the wedding garment. Be moved by the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit in you that's going to resurrect you. If the Holy Spirit is not in there ruling your life, sovereignly working in your life, you're not ready to go. If the Holy Spirit is not in, I'm not talking about being baptized, I'm a Pentecostal. I know the difference in being filled with the Holy Ghost. But like Stephen Offord said, a great Baptist preacher, when I was saved, he was resident. But when I became filled with the Holy Ghost, he became president. When I was saved, I had all of him. But when I got full of the Holy Ghost, he had all of me. And that's a beautiful truth. really is. So you better hear me. I hope you listen to me, because I'm here literally squalling. I'm not squalling right now, but I've been squalling. I've been sobbing for the unsaved, the unprepared, my own family members, unprepared, careless, dressing the old way, living the old way, loving the world, running after money, running after things. Oh, friend, listen to me. Listen to me. You got to hear it. And these signs shall, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come on the earth, that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. I put up on Facebook this morning, if we are surrendered to him, then we're going to sit in his throne with him. And that's in the book of Revelation 3 and 4. Oh, my friend, listen to me. The coming of the Lord's at the door, and you can hear it, that you may be accounted worthy. Do you want to be worthy when that trumpet sounds? Do you want him to look at you and say, she's been faithful, he's been faithful? None of that has to be said, you know. Because when that trumpet sounds, the Holy Spirit, if he is sovereign in here, he will resurrect you in seconds. He will resurrect, rapture you in seconds. You'll be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Are you hearing me? The twinkling of an eye. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. And I don't doubt it. Buddy, I believe that book. I believe every bit of that book. And I want to shake you up today. And I want to get you concerned the grave danger of missing the rapture. The grave danger of missing the rapture. My friend, I just can't let you. I am not going to let you. If there's anything Brother Chambers can do to not let you miss that rapture, friend, I'm going to do it. I'm promising you, if there's anything I can do, I'm going to beg you. I'm going to plead with you. I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to sob and pray for you. I'm going to repent for you. Oh, you say you don't know me. I know I don't know you, but I'm still praying for you. Everybody that hears this program, everybody that sees this program, internet, Facebook, radio, in the days to come on the archives of both free, the Facebook and the internet, or we may send you a cassette or a DVD. I want you, friend, to know that you're ready to go. Woo! I want you to know that you're ready to go. I really do. Now, you say, are there many scriptures in the Bible that warns us of the absolute necessity of being ready? The Bible is full of such scriptures. I don't understand how people get in this lazy, cheap stuff. I really don't, because the Bible is so real and breathtaking. Let's go to the book of Revelation. I love Revelation. It's no book in the Bible that's more apropos for this generation than Revelation. If you're not living in the book of Revelation, you're taking an extreme chance, because that book will wake you up. Let's go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation chapter 2. Let's deal for a moment with these seven churches. These seven great churches. This is the last words that Jesus sent to his church. The seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And all those seven churches represent the whole church dispensation. The whole church age. Seven being the number of complete. The number of full. The full church world is reflected in those seven letters. And the first letter is written to the church at Ephesus. Now, they were only maybe 100 years, probably less than 100 years old at this time, probably about 70 years old, because John the Revelator wrote this in the 90s AD, about 60 years after Jesus was crucified. And listen, Jesus talking. Now, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Nevertheless, Jesus talking to his church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left. In other words, you fell in love with me, and you were whole hog for me. You gave your life to me. You began to labor for me. But now something has happened. You got so busy making a living and making more money and planning your retirement and planning a bigger house until you've lost your first love. You're now just kind of going to church. You're just half-hearted. You're lukewarm at best. And you're still religious, and you still love the Lord to a great degree, but you've lost your first love. Now, that's who he's talking to you. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of you out there. The church world is full of you. Full of you. Who are you talking about? You. Those who have left their first love. Notice he didn't say lost it. You can't lose your first love. There's no way of losing anything God's ever given to you. You can leave it. You can leave it. Someone asked me one time, do you believe you can lose your first love? I said, no. He said, oh, you believe in eternal security now, don't you? I said, well, almost, yeah, almost. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not losing your first love. The Bible says leaving your first love. Now, if you can't leave your first love, why did Jesus say it? Come on. Take the Bible literal. Take the Bible serious, because it is a serious book. Repent, therefore. There's people right now that before I finish this broadcast, you ought to repent. You ought to repent right now. You're just that dangerous, in that dangerous zone. If you don't repent, you're lukewarm, you're indifferent, you half go to church, you half pay your tithes, or maybe you do all of that, but you still have no fire in your bosom. You're just lukewarm. You're just halfway. You're just half-hearted. When there's an altar call, you usually sit back, and if you go, you just kind of mumble some prayers. Come on now. You've left your first love, and I'm after you. I love you. I love you. You've left your first love, and Brother Chambers, a servant of Jesus Christ, with everything in me, is loving on you. Loving on you. And telling you, you got to get back to that first love. What did he say, do? Listen to him. Let him talk to you. What did he say? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. You're fallen. You're fallen, no question. And repent. And do thy first works, do thy first works, do you hear me? Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, how can you get plainer than that? How can you get plainer than that? You have left your first love, and there's thousands of you, millions of you. You're just half-hearted. You used to be an on-fire Christian. I've heard many people say, man, I got to get back to my first love. You're going to miss the rapture if you don't get back to your first love. If you go up in that rapture, you're going to be in love with Jesus with all your heart. You're going to be loving him with everything inside your bosom. He's going to be the center of your life. He's going to be the center of your life. You say, but I've been saved. That's wonderful. I'm glad you've been saved. But you've left your first love, and you backslid, and you're not going in the rapture, and I'm after you. I love you. I care about you, and I want you to repent. I want you to do it before the broadcast is over. Do it right now and call me and tell me I just repented. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I'm telling you now, I'm talking plain to you. But I'm not going to pull no punches with you. You know Brother Chambers that good. I'm not going to pull no punches with you. I'm going to help you if I can. You say, Brother Chambers, you're too hard. No, I'm too straight. There's no such thing as hardness when you just believe what the Bible says. I only believe what the Bible says. I don't believe nothing the Bible don't say. I am so committed to the Bible that I'm whole hog for the Bible. I'm sorry about those country terms, but they are familiar to me. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3 now, and let's look at his letter to the church of Thyatira. I'm sorry, the church of Laodicea. Let's look now at his letter to the church of Laodicea. Now, the church of Laodicea is the last day church. We see the church of Laodicea everywhere we look. There's still some Philadelphians, people with an open door serving the Lord. I'm a Philadelphian. There's a lot of Philadelphians around, but most of church people are Laodiceans. And how do you understand them? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, Jesus said. Jesus said this now, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, talking to his church, he said, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. Brother Chambers. But Brother Chambers, I've seen miracles. But Brother Chambers, I've been in church for 40 years. But Brother Chambers, I'm 75 years old. Brother Chambers, the Lord understands my condition. The Lord understands I'm too busy. The Lord understands all the responsibility I've got. If you're neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, he can only do what he said he was going to do, and that is spew you out of his mouth. Do you love me? Do you love me? Because I'm telling you the straight truth. You see, the grave danger of missing the rapture is what I'm dealing with. The grave danger of missing the rapture. I don't want you to miss the rapture. I really don't. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mind. Because thou sayest thou art rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We got a church world that's poor and blind and naked. We got a church world that's so careless. Your church buildings are gorgeous. Your sanctuary is beautiful. Your preacher is eloquent. He's educated. He's got a couple doctorate degrees. I mean, he is really sharp. And we really love those sweet things he says. He makes us shout every time we get in church. And maybe you would say, my rock music church, man, our music is so on fire. We got lights are flashing. We got drums are screaming. We got people singing this new stuff. And we're having a ball. If you would take one of those churches and transplant you over at the marriage supper, the king would come in and say, where is your wedding garment? I hear your loud music and I see your enthusiasm, but where is your wedding garment? And he would throw you out the door. I mean, he would throw you out the door. That's what the Bible said. We'll read that in a minute. He would throw you out the door. Now, I know I'm being really plain today. The Holy Ghost laid it on my heart to come to you with everything inside of me and to plead with you today, to do my best to shake you until your eye teeth rattle, if that's possible. And God can get a hold of you and you can find you a place to get on fire for God. Listen, he's coming. It's at the door. He's coming. It's at the door. Now, I want to give you something. I can talk all the hour. You know that. I've got so many scriptures I can read to you and share with you, warning you, begging you, pleading with you. He that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Holy Ghost said. He that puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. There's so many scriptures that warn us. He's coming out to a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Notice he said that. I'm coming out to a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Not one sin, unrepented and unforsaken, will go up in that rapture. Not one. You tell lies and you don't repent and forsake that old lie telling, you can't go in no rapture. I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you scream, holy, 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 or hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You got to live right. You got to live right, friend. You got to have that first love. You got to be full of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean baptized now. The moment you get saved, he comes in. And if he has his sovereign way, it won't be long till you'll be sanctified and you'll be Holy Ghost filled and you'll be a witness to your neighbors and you'll be a blessing on your job and your wife and children will love you and respect you and follow your leadership and you'll be somebody special. God will make something special out of you. But you got to walk with him and you got to obey him. You got to do his will. Unto them that are overcomers, I tried to say it and it wouldn't come out. Seven times to the seven letters in the book of Revelation, he said, to them that are overcomers, to them that are overcomers. And one of those, he promises you'll sit with him in his throne. If you go to Revelation 4, where the rapture just took place, and you'll see all the elders, all the saints are sitting with him in his throne. The picture's clear. You got the promise in chapter 3. You got the picture of it in chapter 4. It's going to happen and we're going to be gone. And I want you to be gone with us. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. I want to give you this booklet. We open the lines. They're waiting right now to take your phone calls. You know the number, 1-800-338. I'm going to put it up a minute. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704 is the local number. 391-0588. And then email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. You got to have this booklet. This booklet has many scriptures and all kinds of information about the grave danger of missing the rapture. Call quickly and get a copy of this. Okay? It's very important. You can make copies and give them out at your prayer meeting. You can make copies for your Sunday school class. If you're a pastor, you can make copies for your whole congregation. And you can help me, help everybody you will get ready to go in that rapture. Now, I'm waiting for your calls. I want to answer every question that you've got today. Okay? I'm going to get rid of these numbers. You've got them now. Okay? Have you written them down? Have you written them down? The numbers, 1-800-338-7884, 1-704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. You are important, and I will do my best to be a blessing to you, okay? Now grab your phone, and let's talk. The last weeks have been outstanding, and you're not going to believe what we're going to do now. I'm starting a new series today. Let me read for you while you are calling the next seven programs after this program. This is the name of the series, The Grave Danger of Missing the Rapture. Number two next week, Great Revival Immediately After the Rapture. Now, in a moment, I'm going to take you to the book of Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to show you the fifth seal out of that seven sealed book that Jesus took out of the Father's hand in chapter 5. And I'm going to show you what's going to happen to the people who get saved after the rapture. Now, if I don't get another call today, it's not going to really, although I want your calls because I can continue the program another week. But I want to tell you what's going to happen after that rapture. Many people are going to be scared out of their wits. There will be, the Bible says they will commit suicide for fear for those things coming on the earth. The Bible talks about that period and it's breathtaking. But there will be a revival of people getting saved after the rapture. In fact, I would suggest right now that the rapture is so imminent. The coming of Jesus is so imminent, right at the door, that there probably is not going to be much of any kind of revivals until after the rapture. There could be local revivals. You could have a revival if you pay the price. We had two saved last Sunday morning. We're praying for more, baptizing today. We're committed to revival. But I'm going to tell you, the way this world is looking, if Jesus don't come, he's going to have to apologize. If Jesus don't come, it is getting hell on earth out there. It is terrible. That woman holding up the head of the president, dripping in blood as though she had cut his head off. I understand that the president's son, what's his name, Byron, that he saw that and thought it was real and went screaming to his mother. Let me tell you something. A person that would do something like that is a moral collapse. They are a pitiful possibility of even a human being. It's just that horrible. And it's that way everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. People by the scads are being killed. Now grab your phone quickly. Grab your phone quickly. Don't mess around. Whether you're listening by Facebook or internet or radio, grab your phone. 704-391-0588. Long distance, 1-800-338-7884. And then email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. Got it? jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I want calls every week. Usually wait for me to finish in about 30 minutes, and then you start calling. That's okay. Don't mind that. There's much I want to read. In a moment, I'm going to Revelation chapter 7. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 6, and then 7. I want to show you what's going to happen after that rapture. Oh, you say, Brother James, can I get saved after the rapture? If you're asking that question, very likely you can't, because you know better. So you've already made a decision not to live for God, and you're just going to wait until the things are final and the rapture's already come, and then you're going to try to serve God. You're probably one of those who the Lord says, because you love not the truth, you cannot be saved. See, there are many in that category. Many, many, millions in the category that cannot get saved after the rapture. And if you put it off and put it off, you've been rebellious and stubborn. You've hated preachers like Joe Chambers, and you're determined to do your own thing, live like you please. You can find fault and criticize, but you can't live right. You very likely won't have a chance. But there will be millions who've never really had an opportunity. Think of the billions on the face of this earth that's never heard the story of Jesus like I'm preaching. And suddenly that rapture takes place. The trumpet sounded and the whole world has heard it. Oh, I'm telling you, the heathens in Africa will start getting right with God. The dedicated Arabs in Iraq and in Iran and many places who have a heart for truth will start getting right with God. It'll be incredible. It'll be incredible. But it's going to be hell to pay, because the Antichrist and his goons are going to go after anybody that gets saved. Anybody that gets saved after that rapture. They're going to go after them. And they're not just going to kill them. They're going to mutilate them. They're going to rape them. And they're going to ravage them. And they're going to treat them like dogs. You've never heard of anything as bad as you think. You think those terrorists are bad in what they do, cutting people's head off? Those people are dying pretty quickly. When that Antichrist is in charge, it's going to be some kind of hell on this earth. Now, I'll take your calls as soon as you're ready. I know the lines are ringing now, and I want you to have this booklet. I want everybody out there to have this booklet. And all you got to do is call right now. Give them your name and address. You'll have it in about 3 or 4 days. It'll take a couple of days to get there, and we'll probably mail it on Tuesday. It's got to be made into a booklet, because I change them and I do all kinds of things to them as the Holy Ghost helps me. And I'm going to tell you, it is dangerous out there. It is hell out there. Anybody doubt it's hell out there? No, you don't doubt it. Anybody can know anything about this Bible? You know Jesus is fixing to come. I pray he will. I sat last night in my library and said, Lord, come. Come tonight, Lord. I wanted him to come. I wanted him to come last night. I wanted to go. Man, I wanted to go. It is hell out there. It is terrible. I've never been so hated by a certain class of people. Now grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I'm waiting for your call. I want to answer your question. I really do. I want to answer your question now. I'm going to take a quick gander at the email in case I've got any emails there, okay? In case I've got any emails. I don't know whether I do or don't. Let's see here. No emails that I see. Well, I have to wait, because this old computer of mine, though it's a wonderful computer, it's slow as a snail bringing up my emails. I don't know what's wrong. They told me what's wrong is I've got a system of protection, security, and every email has to pass through that security system to keep me safe. And believe me, I know what's out there when it comes to a program like mine, like this program. Now, there are people that will do anything they can to get me off the air, but I don't think they can, because I think God is protecting me and taking care of me. Now grab your phone, 1-800. Don't want to wait. I don't want to wait now. Do you believe that the rapture is imminent? Do you believe that you've got to be living a surrendered life for Christ? That you can't live in sin. You can't live a backslid life. You can't lose your first love and go after the world. You can't become cold. How many of you, if I would be in your presence and I would say, are you more on fire for God than you were 10 years ago? Maybe you've been a Christian 20 years. Would you answer me? Well, not really. I've had that question asked to people, and they will say, no, I'm not on fire like I used to be. And then you're not ready to go in the rapture. Whew, Brother Chambers, you scared me. Good. Get on your knees and repent and get on fire for God. I'd love to have 100 of you in the house of God at Paul Creek in the morning with a determination to get back on fire for God. The Pentecostal church world is flooded with thousands and thousands of Pentecostals who used to be on fire, and they're no longer on fire. They used to be so full of the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Holy Ghost, witnessing, soul winning, the business of the church, and they've cooled off. And their church is just lukewarm. Just, you know, nobody's ever dancing down the aisle. I heard one say some time ago, we don't allow this dancing down the aisles around here. Well, don't worry. If you don't allow it, nobody's going to do it anyway. They're not likely to happen if you did allow it, because your church has died. Your church has died. The spiritual anointing of the Holy Ghost is gone. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is real. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's real. It's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing, I know it's real. I want you on fire. Now, I'm waiting. I'm ready for the calls. I'm not going to waste no time. I really do want your calls. 1-800-338-7884. Local number 704-391-0588. I just saw my emails have come up here. So let me see if I've got any questions here. I'd love to have your question, but I don't believe I have any. How about that? You know, people, sometimes I get questions on the email, and sometimes I don't, and I'm always glad to, but, it's up to you. I'm just here to be a blessing. That's all. I'm here to bring you the truth the best I can, the best I know how. I'm here to wake you up and to get you excited about the Bible, to get you living in that fire of the Holy Ghost. That's all I'm here for, to get you ready for the rapture. Anybody out there knows the church world is not ready for the rapture. Anybody in churches know that your church has cooled off. I ask people all the time, do you need a Holy Ghost fire in your church? No. We're just kind of rocking along, you know. Friend, get on fire. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get your life charged with Christ. Live in the cross. Live in the blessings of the Lord. Now, the time is slipping fast, and I'm waiting for your call. I'm taking you now while you're calling. Remember, I want you to call. I want you to have this booklet. I know that some of you have called, and I want hundreds of you to get this booklet. I want you to give it to everybody you know. I want you to give it to everybody in your church. I want your preacher to preach from it and use it as a sermon title. You don't need to give my name. Just use it. That's all I can say. I just want you to preach this truth and get people ready to meet the Lord, because he is coming any moment. Well, my phone's still ringing right now. All the lines are open for you. 1-800. Now listen, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Is that slow enough for you to get it? And then the local number, 704-391-0588. 391-0588. Now I'm taking you to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. The Antichrist kingdom has started. 7 years of the tribulation is now in progress. Jesus himself is opening the seals of that seven-sealed book that he took out of the Father's hand in chapter 5 of Revelation. And he gets now to the fifth seal. Now look, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now that rapture's taking place. The raptured saints are in heaven. The Antichrist is spreading his gloom all over the earth. God is judging this earth. Already the first four seals of the first horse riders have been turned loose. The earth is in great consternation. The nature habits have gone berserk. Everything is in a mess. Authority is no longer in existence. The world is in a terrible condition. That's what the Bible makes it plain. And this fifth seal is open. And under the altar are the souls of them who have been slain. They've been killed because they confessed Christ. Because they got right with God. Because they washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. And now the goons of the Antichrist has spread all over the earth. And they're killing these people who are confessing Christ. They're killing these people who are coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord. They're killing them. And they're under the altar now. They're under the altar. They're dead under the altar. And they're crying. They're crying with a loud voice, the Bible says, saying to the Lord, how long, Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So the people being killed are being killed so gruesome, so sorrowful, so vicious, until even in death, they're begging God to avenge their blood. They're begging God to avenge their blood. I mean, it's a dark time. It's a dark situation. They cried with a loud voice. They begged the Lord to avenge their blood. But look at verse 11. The Lord answers, and white robes was given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren also, that they should be killed, even as they were killed, and should be fulfilled. So here is death in a fashion that is so horrendous that those already dead are crying for God to judge the wicked on the earth for this murderous, evil killing of these believers in Jesus Christ. You know, people are dying all over the world right now for the faith of Christ. And many of them, their faith is very, very shallow. Many of them, it's a kind of cold, dead religion, but they still are Christians. And I don't know what their condition is with God. I pray that they're truly born again. That's in God's hands, not mine. And I pray for that. But here is people after that rapture, after the earth has been moved by this great host of people lifted up and redeemed and taken to heaven in the great rapture. Then people on the earth begin to pray. You see, when the world is being judged by God, the Bible said that the world will learn righteousness, will learn righteousness. When this judgment comes in all of its hail. Verse 11, one more verse. And white robes was given unto them, every one of them, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their brethren and their fellow servants should be killed and fulfilled, even as they. What a picture. And that's going to happen, friend. You say, I'll get saved after the rapture. You'll get saved at great cost. You'll get saved at great suffering. You'll get saved at great hell on earth. You'll get saved, and it'll be murderous. I'm here to tell you, we studied this Wednesday night. Now, I want to offer you the sermon, the Bible study from Wednesday night to go with this booklet. The Bible study from Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, we did a Bible study of Revelation 6 and 7, and we looked at all these people who are going to be saved after the rapture, and we showed everybody how miserable and hellish it's going to be. And it's going to be a time that you just don't want to be part of. You don't want to be part of it. And I beg of you to get ready before that time arrives. I really do. I really do. Now, you may have a question about this. See, most people just don't understand these kind of Bible truths. The preachers are not preaching them. They're not warning people that if you get saved after that rapture, it's going to be hell. It's going to be miserable. They're not telling you that if you're cold and lukewarm, that you're not going up in that rapture. You're going to have to get things right during that early tribulation years, and you're going to suffer intently, intently. I beg of you to hear me. If you don't believe me, you get this booklet, and you get my Bible study Wednesday night from our church. I'm telling you, we will convince you if you believe the Bible. If you really believe the Word of God, we will convince you. If you don't believe the whole word, you just believe little things, little cute, nice things your preacher said. You've been preached a kind of sedate gospel, a kind of half-hearted gospel, a kind of lukewarm sermons, and you're not really ready. I beg of you to make a move. I beg of you to make a move. I care about you. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Uh-oh. Got to put it on hold, mother. Got to put it on hold. Sometimes they tell me before they get it on hold. Chapter number 2, put it on hold, please. Put it on hold, please. All right, they got to put it on hold. Please put it on hold and call me back. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want you on the air. I want you on the air. Call quickly. All right, they didn't get it. Sometimes they have trouble transferring them. I don't know why, but you call right back, dear friend. I want you on, because I want the questions that you are feeling. What do you do with chapter 6 of Revelation I just read you? What do you do with that fifth seal that Jesus opens these seals now? It's not an angel, it's Jesus. You go read Revelation 6. You'll find these seals are all opened by the Son of God. And I'm telling you, it's an overwhelming thing. Now grab your phone quickly. I'm waiting on you. I want you to ask the question that's very, very important to you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Pastor Chambers, I had a question. You were talking about the Holy Ghost and how he's missing so much of our church. Is that the reason why our churches aren't changing the world?
You know, you need to speak a little plainer to me. I'm having trouble understanding you, my dear friend. Say every bit of that again, and let me try to hear it, okay?
Okay. You were speaking about the Holy Spirit.
Yes, the Holy Ghost.
And the lack of the way so many churches are dead. Is that why?
Yeah, the churches, most churches don't even want the moving of the Holy Ghost because it takes the church out of the preacher's hand and puts it in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. I was just wondering, is that why our churches aren't changing the world?
You wonder why the churches are not forsaken in the world. Well, they love the world more than they love Jesus. I mean, it's pitiful what's happening in churches. It really is. It breaks my heart. I cry out about it. Get on fire. Teach the people, separate. The Bible said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's in 1 John chapter 1. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Thank you, my dear friend. And God bless you. Now call us quickly. I want to hear from you. I want your question. I want to do my best to wake up our audience. We got 16, 17 minutes in this broadcast. If we could get people to wake up, how many out there will just wake up? Wake up. Get hungry for the Lord. Get hungry to be on fire. Get hungry to pray till the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life. Until you pray like you used to pray and squall and try to win souls and you're out there busy for the Lord. Oh, church, wake up. It's time for the coming of the Lord, okay? Okay, it's time for the coming of the Lord. Grab your phone. Our lines are open and we're here to answer your call. We're here to do our best for you. We really are. I don't know. I think I may scare people to death. Giving you what nobody else has given you as a whole. Now, there's some preachers, of course. God's got good men all over this world. God's got good men all over this world. Most of them are not on radio and internet and Facebook like I am preaching. But they're still good men. They love the truth. They love the truth. And if you don't love the truth, I'm telling you, the love of the truth is what saves you. Did you know that? The love of the truth is what saves you. When you fall in love with that Bible, it becomes rich. Now, while you are calling, let me take you to Revelation 7. You see, Revelation 6, that seal is open. And we see this multitude who've been killed in the early stages of the seven-year tribulation period. They've been killed. They've been killed for their faith. They've been killed because they would not hush. They would not quit witnessing for Jesus. They wouldn't give up. When they was asked, do you claim Jesus as your Savior? They said proudly, I claim Jesus as my Savior. Proudly, I claim Jesus as my Savior. Now go to Revelation 7 and 9. Revelation 7, 9. After this I looked, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood round about the throne, and all the elders, those elders are the raptured saints, and the four beasts, and they fell on their faces and worshiped God. What a picture. Saying, amen, blessing. One of the elders then said to John, saying unto him, what are these? What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And John said unto him, sir, thou knowest. John the Revelator didn't know. And he had to ask this saint of God that was asking him this question, who they were. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are those which came out of great tribulation. Now, I'm of the opinion, as soon as that rapture has taken place, there will be a revival all over this world. All over this world. Nations and kindreds and tongues. That's what the scripture said. And people will begin to get right with God in spite of the fear. Because this is it. There's no additional chances. There's no future opportunities. There's no way to get out of this. It's either the Antichrist or Jesus Christ. And you'll have to choose. And when you choose, you will be signing a death warrant if you choose Jesus. You'll be signing a death. You got to understand. You think you can serve God or can't serve God now. It is going to be so many times more costly to serve God then than it is now. And you have to pay the price or go to hell. You have to pay the price or join the Antichrist. You won't have but two choices, the Antichrist or Jesus Christ. Which are you going to choose after that rapture if you don't go in that rapture? Listen to me now. Which are you going to choose after that rapture? Jesus Christ or the Antichrist? Now, I beg you. I'm telling you, I'm praying for many people to get saved today. I'm praying that you'll get on your face right there in your home. You'll go to your bedroom. You'll go somewhere in the church. You'll stop your automobile. And as a dad, you're riding down the road and you got your family in the car and you're listening to me. Let's just stop, family. Let's everybody in this car give their life to Christ. Let's wash. Let the Lord wash us in his blood. Let's surrender to Christ and we'll find a church to go to tomorrow. You're out of town. Find a church where you're at. You're in town. You need to find an old-fashioned church. I don't mean some lukewarm outfit. I don't mean the biggest church in town. I don't mean a place with rock music. I don't mean a place with a preacher dressed in shorts and sandals. I mean a man of God who gets in that pulpit and he's on fire and he's full of the Holy Ghost and he don't look like the world. He don't act like the world. He don't dress like the world. He's not a compromiser. He's an old-fashioned man of God. Find you a preacher like that. You find one of these new dudes, they'll tell you something, make you feel good, add you to the roll and enjoy your money. But, you know, it won't get you inside the pearly white city. It won't get you inside those marvelous golden gates. Are you listening to me? You need to get self right with God. Now, I'm waiting on your calls. I really am. I can't believe that somebody's not calling me up and saying, Reverend Chambers, you are crazy. You know, at least somebody ought to call me up and tell me I'm crazy. I mean, really? I mean, we are talking about a time unlike anything there's ever been. And here's a question. I knew somebody would get on the phones here. Here's a question. How does a person get saved spiritually? How does a person get saved spiritually? Very simple. One, repent of your sins. Are you sick and tired of sin? You got to be tired of sin. You can't get saved if you're not tired of sin. You're sick and tired of sin that's destroying you. And you're ready to repent and turn from your sins. Number two, you got to trust in the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Number three, surrender your life to him. You've repented of your sins. You've clung to the blood to redeem you and save you. And now you surrender your life to him. You surrender your life to him. You ready to get you an old-fashioned Bible? Make sure it's King James. Get you an old-fashioned Bible. You ready to look for a church that's full of the Holy Ghost where the preacher's a man of God that don't pull no punches? I mean, if you want to get saved, you got to go all the way. You can't just get religion. You can't just get religion. We got so many out there that all they've got is religion. I'm looking for another. Nope, that's it. That was a good one, though. That was a good one. Anybody else have a question like that? I'd love to answer it. I'm here to tell you, the time is almost over. Woo! The time is almost over. And I'm here just looking to you with all my heart, telling you how much Brother Chambers cares about you and how much I want you to be saved. I want you to go in the rapture. I don't want one. If you're one of my worst enemies and you hate my very being, I still want you to get saved. I'll pray for you. You come to church and I'll get on my knees beside you. The hand of God anoint me. I'll weep with you. I'll help you surrender. You won't need to ask me to forgive you. It's already done. Anybody don't like me, I've already forgiven them. Those people don't like me. I've already forgiven them. I don't have a grudge against nobody. I don't have nobody I dislike. Jesus is coming, and I'm leaving. Are you hearing me? All right, the lines are open. The lines are open. I hope I've stirred up my audience to the very core. I hope you'll go get in the second and third chapter of Revelation. I hope you'll go to Luke chapter 21. Go to Matthew 24. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Now listen, think about with me. What if you're going down the road in a car and you got one of your dear friends and you know he's a devoted Christian and you're going down the road, he's driving and suddenly he's gone. He's gone. You grab the wheel. You reach over with your foot and get your foot on the brakes and have to knock his shoe off because he don't take that shoe with him. And you get the car to a stop. Then what are you going to do? What if you get up in the morning, wake up, and you got a dear wife, and she's just on fire for God, and you know it, and you won't go to church with her? I'm thinking of a man right now whose wife just got saved a few weeks ago, and he needs so desperately to come to church and give his life to Christ. I pray he'll listen to me today. And there's so many out there, just every which way, everywhere you look, who are just not ready for the rapture. If you were ready for the rapture, you'd probably already have called me and said, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And if you're not ready, okay, I'm looking for your calls now. I'd like to spend these last 7 minutes on the phone with you, answer three or four questions. Do you understand what a multitude is going to be that come up out of that tribulation who get right with God? I don't think many of you have the possibility because you've rejected God so long. You've heard so many sermons. You've grown so cold and indifferent in your church. You're back. It isn't easy to come back when you backslid. You gotta have the backbone of a saw log to come back when you backslid. A backslid man really struggles trying to turn around, trying to get a hold of himself, trying to get back serving God. It isn't easy. The devil's got a hook in your jaw. The devil's took over your thinking. The devil won't let you think about God as freely as you ought to. You try to read the Bible and your mind is wandering everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? God is calling you today to turn around. God's calling you today to turn around. God's calling you today to turn around. Well, I keep thinking the phone's going to ring off the hook, and it doesn't. It's done so the last 3 weeks. But I know I took a tough one today, and I really went after you. And I'm really trying my best to get the message as plain as I can to you. And maybe you don't want your friends to hear you talking to me. I would understand. Maybe you don't want nobody to know, hey, I believe what that Chambers preacher is saying. If you don't believe, you don't believe the Bible. Because I ain't said nothing that's not plainly and unequivocally in this Bible. I'm not going to say anything that's not as clear as a bell right here in this holy book. I believe this book from cover to cover. I don't believe nothing but what's in this book. I don't believe in these false doctrines. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's what Jesus said. When that rapture takes place, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, no, not at any time. No, not ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. Except those days are shortened, no flesh shall be saved. Am I making the message clear to you? It's a grave danger in missing that rapture. It's a grave danger in missing that rapture. I don't want a one of you out there to miss this rapture. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for that multitude that's hearing me today. Thousands of people. And I'm weeping for them. I've laid myself out here on this line as plain as a man can do. I've given them the truth as best I know and understand. I've given them nothing that you haven't been giving me through many years. I heard everything I preached today. I heard it all 50 and 60 years ago as I attended great Holy Ghost filled camp meetings and great prophecy conferences and great revivals. I heard it all. The Ray Hugheses, the Wade Hortons, I can name those great preachers. Even Billy Graham preached some great sermons on the coming of the Lord. He believed, if you study the writings of Billy Graham, he believes everything I've said to you today. I don't think there's a thing in my doctrines that Billy Graham and his son doesn't believe. Really not? Nothing. Now, most people don't say these things on the radio like I say them. I'm here because God put me here. And I'm here to wake you up and stir you up and get you ready. And I'm weeping for you. Father, I pray for conviction that comes like a storm all over my audience. Facebook, internet, radio, conviction right now, gripping hearts. Oh, I believe for it, God. It's coming. Whoa, it's happening. Oh, it's happening. It's happening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, it's happening. I claim conviction. I claim hearts to be smitten with a sense of fear. I claim people to wake up and suddenly realize the King could come before this program is over with only 3 minutes to go. I pray that you'll get a hold of lives, God, that they will be stirred to the core of their being, Father. To the very core of their being. The time is up. The time is soon. It's almost over, Lord. It's almost over. I claim the miracle. Really, I claim the miracle. I really claim the miracle. I really do believe God's getting a hold of you now. I need your help. The month of June is tough. This is the first program in June. And the month of June is tough financially. I got to hear from every one of you. You can't pay. You can't soothe your conscience now by sending me a big offering. Whatever you do, you still got to repent. You still got to get yourself right with God. You got to make sure. I'm preaching in the morning on rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Rise and be healed. I'm looking for people to be marvelously healed tomorrow. Marvelously healed. Then we're going to have a baptismal service at the end of the morning worship. I'm looking for people to be saved. You get getting saved, you'll want to go and be baptized even though you don't have a change of clothes. It won't hurt you to go home wet. It'll be a pretty sunny day. Hey, I love you, friends. I really do. And I'm here to tell you, we're at the end of the road. We're at the end of the road. It's almost over. Jesus could come, literally come, before this program is over. And I have a minute and a half. A minute and a half. Now listen, I'm going to go back to that song that you was just hearing some of. I want you really to hear some of it. It's an overwhelming song. It really is. I'm going to see if I can back it up without losing it. I hope I don't. I'm going to try because I want you to hear a little bit of it. And I want you to get right with God. I really do. I want you to get right with God. The time is short. The time is near at hand. The time is near at hand. The King is coming. The King is coming. Oh, he's coming. I'm going to back it up a little more. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. Now you listen. I hope you'll get stirred. I hope you'll get right with God before today's over. I hope you'll find a place to pray. Get on your face and cry out to God. It's later than you think, friend. It's later than you think. I love you. Now the phone number to call me, 1-800-338-7884. The local number is 704-391-0588. 391-0588. Email me, grc@paulcreek.org. I'll give you the Bible study from Wednesday night. It was powerful. Revelation 6 and 7. Hey, the King is coming. The King is coming. Hey, I want to hear a little more of that. I really do. Let me get a little more. Hallelujah. He's coming, and I'm leaving. I'm telling you, I'm leaving. I'm leaving.